broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 26th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Then absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances are brilliant. They're put in place by the founding fathers, and that's the solution. One of the great keys we have for peaceful restoration. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Hope you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country as I did. By the way, we are live on Saturdays now. If you haven't heard that by now, you're living under a rock, but nevertheless, we want to make sure you're aware. Monday through Saturday, Liberty Roundtable Live, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time. And we take a break on Sundays, ladies and gentlemen, as the good Lord intended. Too bad the mainstream press doesn't do that as well. And society doesn't spend more time keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because if they did, that would be one of the great solutions we would point to. The Ten Commandments, one of the great solutions we have to restore the Republic. Probably one of our greatest tools, if you ask my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. All right, a quick recap of Saturday's broadcast then. Trump signs spending bill, pledges to never sign another bill like this again. He claims he had to sign it. He pretends it was a matter of national security. I disagree with that completely. Kirk gave pushback and said, hey, how do we know? Maybe it was national security. And my response is, Kirk could be right. We don't know. And the sad part about it is we will probably never know. I'm not on the inside of the administration. The likelihood of me ever getting the facts on the internals are zero. But what I do know is there are better ways to promote national security. And primarily, the Constitution is the way. And any time we violate the Constitution, it is not the way. So spinning ourselves into oblivion with $1.3 trillion, it is not the way. The more unconstitutional government you fund, the less your chances of real security will be. The more you stand with the supreme law of the land, replete with its checks and balances, the more you apply pure application of the principles that make America great, the more you stand with God and family, the greater your security will be. I mean, God literally says in the Bible in one verse, hey, if they repent, meaning we the people, if we repent, he will heal our nation and protect us. The question left is, do you trust him? Or do you trust government unconstitutional expenditures as your solution? See, that's where we are in America. Do you trust God? Do you think turning to him matters? Do you think prayers are worthless? Or do you think they have great eternal value, infinite value? All right, that's the discussion. And I don't think that we should just turn to God and say, hey, you know, you'll feed me and you'll do everything for me. I think we got to do plenty ourselves. And that's where following the supreme law of the land comes in. That's where pointing people to God's laws come in. That's where good, honest folks turning to family, the fundamental unit of society, traditional family, based on God's ordained understanding of the family. Those are the solutions. And I'm just telling you right now, I don't need to know the internals of what happens with the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderbergers or what happens in the latest banking cartel via the Federal Reserve or what discussions are happening behind the scenes in the, quote, military-industrial complex stage. I don't need to know all those things to know where the solutions are. I don't need to know every move Satan makes to know that turning to God is the answer. All right, so let's be very clear. I don't know those things, but I do know that I'm disappointed about this spending bill. All right, Trump, along with our representatives, ladies and gentlemen, struck a dirty deal. They fully funded Planned Parenthood, for example, unconstitutional as all get out, and I know the murder of 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day. And I know the Republicans breaking their promise to the umpth degree is not the answer. It's omnibusiness as usual. $1.3 trillion. Most of it on unconstitutional behaviors. All right. For example, Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington, she negotiated a provision in the spending bill to increase the number of affordable housing credits for the first time in well over a decade. I know that government spending on housing is not the answer. I can tell you that right now. All right. So I know the debate about the 60-minute interview with Stormy Daniels, the adult film star or whatever. That isn't the answer. I know Karen McDougal, another, porn model that's apologizing to Melania Trump. She says, I'm sorry. All right. Melania even has to travel to Mar-a-Lago by herself separately. All right. I know those aren't the answers. Okay. Roseanne Barr warns Kimmel, you want Pence for president? Well, if you don't, then shut the blankety blank up. I know that's not the answer. Kurt pointed to Dave, that movie, talking about it. I think that's spot on. Saying, hey, we can't be compromised over all kinds of immoral activity. The answers are clear for solutions, ladies and gentlemen, and it's pure application of the supreme law of the land on the government level, and it's pure application of godly principles on the personal and family level. You start there. All right, that's a recap of the first hour what we talked about. The second hour we had on our buddy, Doug Stafford. He's chief strategist for RandPack.com. The RandPack mission is to lead the battle for sound money, limited government, and fidelity to our Constitution. Listen carefully. They say, hey, we help elect and support pro-liberty, pro-Constitution candidates in Kentucky and across the country. All right, Rand Paul stood against the omnibus spending bill big time, too. And Ron Paul live tweeted his reading of the spending bill. The point that he's making is no one read that thing. No one read that 2,235-page bill. If you want to talk about a national security crisis, it's not reading a bill and not even knowing what you're signing and approving and codifying into law. That's a national security crisis of the nth degree, in my humble opinion. So we talked about that. Rand Paul also appeared Saturday night in Utah for a fundraising dinner. Good for Rand. We support him completely. We wish he had more time for us on the radio, though. But, you know, he's still doing a bang-up job, and we appreciate it, without a doubt. All right, there's more we covered in the broadcast, but we'll get to that as the broadcast unfolds. For now, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on the line. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Hey, did you go to the Ron Paul dinner, or Rand Paul dinner, I mean?
Didn't make it. Had another commitment, unfortunately, but I'm glad he came and hope it was a successful tour.
Yeah, I understand it was incredible as well. Ann Coulter congratulates President Schumer on spending bill and says Donald's going to get impeached. What do you think of that?
Well, she's not alone in making that prediction, but I'm hoping that he'll hang in there. As much as I don't like some of the stuff he does, I do like the fact that he drives the media crazy, and in fact, he actually does accomplish a few good things, which may not have been accomplished had he not been there. So
I agree with that. I also agree, though, that, you know what, having Mike Pence for president might not be a bad idea. He might not be as bold in taking on the media and stuff like that, but at least he's a moral guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, everybody has their flaws and their strengths, and I just hope that Trump will read the Constitution more and adhere to it more each day. But I don't know, sometimes what he says and does just doesn't line up with the Constitution.
Amen to that. Read the Constitution more. Listen to your hawkish pro-war leaders a little less. By the way, speaking of that, the State Department approved $1 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Did you see that?
Oh, I did not see that. I don't like that because Saudi Arabia has been bombing Yemen over the past, I don't know, 6, 8, 9 months, and that's the genocide of the Yemeni people, and we're supporting Saudi Arabia's efforts to kill them off. I don't like that.
Amen to that. Now, by the way, don't worry, though. Mr. Rogers got his own postage stamp, sir. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah, we're making serious progress now, buddy. We're fixing the America great again. We'd have Mr. Rogers' postage stamps, wouldn't it? How about we reject pro-death postage stamps or pro-life postage stamps? How about save the unborn postage stamps?
Well, now that would be making a statement there.
Yeah. All right, by the way,
Rogers,
I'm kind of mad. You know I wrote President Trump an open letter, right?
Yeah.
Well, President Trump ignored my letter completely, even though I had folks that personally claimed they handed it to the Donald. My letter got completely ignored. But the kid that wanted to mow the White House lawn got top billing. The president received that, got him, let him mow the lawn. I don't know if it was child labor, slave labor, or what. But anyway, he mowed the lawn. I guess it's voluntary, so, you know, hard to tell. But then he spent time in the Rose Garden with the Donald. They made a big old media fanfare about it. Well, two cousins just sent Donald a letter, and you want to know what happened?
I think he read it.
He read it. They got the opportunity to bake cookies with Melania.
For fun.
So those guys get all that, and I can't even get a hold of the president, no matter how hard I try. Well, how do these guys get their letter to the Donald? Lowell, do you have any idea?
No idea. No, you've got serious, you have serious contributions, you know, actual good helpful contributions to make, but they don't make any news stories about that, Sam.
Sad tale, but true. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place Saturday. It's available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. Donate while you're there, would you please? All right, we want to talk about helping the homeless in Utah, Lowell. This is a great, great topic, in my humble opinion, worth plenty of time.
Well, I
give the lead in. We'll take a break and come right back to you.
Awesome.
Oh, I thought you were going to give a lead in. So the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the government's doing a lot to, quote, help the homeless. What do you think of that? Do you like that idea? Are you concerned about that idea? We'll break it down just for you from a constitutional perspective, using God, family, and country, the protection of life, liberty, and property as our guide. We'll do it with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Helping the homeless is the topic, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. At times I bring information to this radio show, stuff that I want to talk about, but then sometimes I like to ask questions. And
yes, sir.
I think there's great value in asking the right questions, and so I thought we'd ask one question this morning among other things we discussed. And the context or the pretext for this is a couple of bills that the Utah legislature considered this session, HB 462 and SB 235 are the bill numbers. HB 462 allocates $6.6 million to fund the purchase of temporary homeless facilities in various large cities around the state, and SB 235 allocates $2.5 million next year, next fiscal year and 5 million in the fiscal year after that to mitigate the impact of homeless shelters and to employ additional public safety personnel there, such as police and so forth, to cut down on crime. So when the Utah Grassroots, which is a legislator rating organization, we get together every year and discuss a number of bills and then rate our legislators against those bills, we considered these bills. And what we came up with is basically we don't like these bills. We don't think it's the proper role of government to provide charity. And yet, we also don't want to be just complainers, right? We want to be solutions. We want to be like Sam and Kurt on the radio, solutions.
Then you came to the right place, buddy.
Good. So what should be the role of cities, counties, and the state of Utah with respect to the homeless, Sam?
All right, quick point before we have Kurt rock and roll and answer that question first. Number one, stealing my tax dollars is not charity. Let's be clear about the facts. We do love charity. We do not like forced redistribution of wealth. Let's first call things what they really are so we can talk about them in an appropriate reality check. You can't do that when you mix what definitions really are. If you steal my tax dollars at literally the point of a government gun and you build homeless shelters or places for homeless or food or whatever, it isn't charity, folks. Let's be very clear about that, because that understanding sets the stage for real solutions. You'll never have solutions with lies. For example, calling abortion pro-life is an absolute, flat-out, bald-faced lie. You will never discuss it properly without calling it a lie. It's pro-death, not pro-life. And until you get there, you can't have an honest conversation about it, because you're not even talking about the same things. Of course I'm pro-life. Of course I'm pro-choice. I believe in agency. But I'm absolutely against the pro-death policies of the murder mills. I'm telling you that right now. See, so you've got to get proper definitions and lay out proper discussion points before you can intelligently point to solutions. Kurt, what would your solutions be then? How do we help the homeless if we don't want to do these government bill plans? In other words, they got $14 million to supposedly take care of the homeless now in these latest two bills that Lowell's talking about. Kurt?
Well, you know, in this whole area, at least to me, in the effort to make America great again, what that phrase basically says is one day it was that way, and we've got to evaluate and examine, well, it was great. In other words, they're saying, hey, let's make America great again. So somehow, somewhere, things were better. And so in this area, I contend that, and I guess contention isn't good, so I would say I suppose, or I submit to the court, if you will, that things were better when we didn't have government performing any of these acts of charity, that the individuals, the people, the good citizenry, whoever it was, whether it was the churches, like they used to own the basically they used to own the hospitals, the churches did, the they also, we'll see stories like this right now, and you know, in the last few years, excuse me, where you'll see churches trying to have homeless shelters, if you will, and then the government giving them some kind of fines because they don't have the right facilities, if you will, and they can't, quote, compete with the government. Those are all areas, at least to me, that are really solutions. The private sector, in so many ways, is the place we're supposed to go, and the government's supposed to leave those things alone, stay out of it. I hope those are some solutions you can consider, Lowell.
Those are incredible solutions, and I would add to Kurt's points and agree with him 1,000%, but I would set the stage slightly different for understanding. So I mentioned that it's vital to understand that you can't call forced redistribution of wealth charity. You can't start with false definitions. Okay, because there's no way for the American people to get the truth. Of course we're for charity. What are you thinking? But Kurt points out the road to solutions by saying it's a private sector answer, not the government. So the first thing I would say is you got to, number one, deal with proper definitions of words. You can't fall for these label advertising lies to perpetuate dishonesty. Okay, so the issue is honesty. And you got to start with saying the first thing we need to understand is it is not the proper role of government. Okay, so for example, what was his name? Davy Crockett. He put it best in a simple phrase, not yours to give. Let me say that again because it's relevant here. Not yours to give. So if anybody in government wants to donate their own money to the homeless or to help out with these charitable reality acts, I support them in their efforts and I will do my best to contribute as well. America is some of the most generous people in the world. Our philanthropy is incredible. The things we do are just off the charts amazing. Okay, we do it not only at home, but around the world. So let's not question the service-oriented philanthropy efforts of the American people. It is unprecedented in the world's history, and let's not forget sight of that either. So now that we got government out of it, now that we have proper definitions, now that we know we're some of the most generous people in the world, let's talk about what I think we could do from our generous hearts that could truly make a charitable difference. What solutions could we bring to the table? And the first thing I would say is not only do we need to get government out of the giving. In other words, these are things government does that they got to stop doing. So we first talk about two things. One, what should be done, but you got to say what should be not done first. Government should be stopped from spending money on these efforts. Because what happens is when government builds homeless shelters, pretty soon it goes to the highest bidder to build the shelter, not to the competitive free market lowest bidder or most responsible or reliable company that the private sector would do. You get this moral hazard of ill-gotten money rolling here. The same is true in education. You get a scenario where the cost just goes up and up and up because, hey, if there's plenty of demand with government money, there's plenty of supply to go here. Okay, that's not the way it ought to work. It ought to work to where we say, how do we do it profitably? How do we do it inexpensively? How do we do it meaningfully? How do we combine philanthropy with making a living for folks? How do we, you know, do all these things together? And the answer is the private sector, free market with transparency, gets that done. Government just creates a moral hazard. So first off, the government's got to stop doing things. Not only have they got to stop spending money, but the next thing they need to do is they need to stop with their belligerent regulations. All right, let me give you an example. Kurt last week brought to the table some incredible stories about they can use 3D printers to print homes now. They actually print these cement homes with 3D printers. Now, I don't know enough about it yet, but we're learning. But here's an example. They can build these things for $4,000, folks. Now, the problem that I told Kurt is you'll never get this off the ground. And I don't mean to be negative. I think the technology is incredible. I don't mean to act like it could never happen because I think it could happen. But it's how we go about it happening. You can't just, you know, put out your $100,000 printer on the market and hope that it'll sell so that people can, you know, print $4,000 houses and houses will be built because you've got too much government in your way. They will laugh you out of existence. The tiny housing market is another example where, you know what, people want to build these tiny homes all across the country. But government will not let you with the zoning laws, with the international building codes, with the, I mean, it goes on and on. You know, the joke is that, hey, when Noah tried to build the ark in 2018, you found the poor guy crying on the side of the road saying, Lord, I just can't get it done. The second I try, the county comes out with their inspections, and before you know it, the feds on me and the international government for building codes is on. I just can't get the ark built. Lord, what do I do? That's kind of the joke, but it makes the point very poignantly where the problem is. Look, let's say that I was willing to give $10,000 to the homeless today. How many people could I get in a house? How many people could I find legitimate, appropriate shelter for? And the answer is very few. And it wouldn't be teaching somebody to fish. It would be giving them a fish every day. So we've got to take a step back. We've got to look to churches. We've got to get government out of it. We've got to let the free market have its sway. And we've got to look to philanthropists and churches and good people everywhere. Love thy neighbor as thyself is the guidance from the Prince of Peace on this topic, ladies and gentlemen. That's where it starts. But what if I wanted to start a homeless city tomorrow? Let's talk about what I'd be up against. But therein lies the solutions. We got to get government out of the way and create a level playing field. Liberty Roundtable Live, Lowell Nelson in seconds. How do we help the homeless was the question.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. I've got a lot more solutions, but I don't want to take all the oxygen out of the room. Lowell, those are a few starting points. I've got more. What do you think of our response?
Well, I love it, Sam. I think you and Kurt have hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's exactly what I was thinking, getting government out of it. It's not charity when you're forced to do it, and you thereby deprive a person of the blessings of being charitable when you forcefully take his money from him and give it away. So that's two wrongs right there. Number one, you're stealing from somebody the fruits of his own labor, and number two, you're depriving him of the blessings that he would otherwise obtain if he had the money that you took from him in order to give it away. I mean, then he gets the blessings for it.
But number three, you're lying because you're pretending it's charity.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lie, too.
I listened to about an hour of the testimony on the House floor for this particular bill, Sam, and there was probably a dozen representatives who spoke either for or against these bills, but there was only one representative, and boy, do I applaud him. I think his name is Adam Robertson, somewhere in Provo, Orem area. He was the only one who talked about the marvelous example of some family who the private sector helped. They didn't get government help, but a bunch of neighbors came together. They helped the family get through a real tough time, helped them locate a job, get back on their feet again, and I think he said like in 6 to 9 months, the family was all back self-sufficient again in their own home or their own apartment or what whatever, but taking care of themselves. And all of that transpired without government. All of it happened with the help of friends and neighbors who put together. But that was only the, and he voted against both of these bills, bless his heart. But by and large, most of the legislators in the state legislature somehow agreed with a tacit assumption that they were somehow, I guess that all citizens of Utah were somehow responsible for the homeless among us, and that they had a fiduciary duty to pay up, you know, in order to take care of the homeless. And I just felt that that was the wrong approach, misguided approach, dishonest approach. And so I appreciate very much the solutions that you've proffered this morning on the radio. And this is not just a Utah problem. This is a problem that's around the nation. So anybody listening in any state of the union this morning, I think will benefit from the solutions and the discussion here that we've had. Sam?
Kurt, you wanted to chime in? All right, so since we lost Kurt, I'll go until maybe he can get back or something like that. So I would paint a picture to articulate my points. If the government would quit stealing money from me, I'd have more money, by the way. Okay? That's number one. And if I had more money, I own a business. Did you know that, Lowell?
Absolutely.
And in that business, I could use writers that could write news and research news and everything else. And imagine if I said, hey, I want to use the old homesteading laws of yesteryear in modern times. I want to take that idea where the government has a bunch of land. They got plenty of it in Utah, like 70% of the land or something. And let's say that I want to go out way in the boonies, just pick any place you want. There's plenty of out in the boonies places in Utah. And I want to go out there and I want to start myself a city. Just call it Sam's Town, okay? And in Sam's Town, I'm the chief employer here, and I'm kind of the mayor because I'm the one that came up with the idea, for crying out loud. So I moved to Sam's Town, and I build myself a nice house. I build myself a little library, so to speak, or a little place. And I add a couple of computers to it and everything else. And then I say, listen, the homesteading plan is going to give people land. They don't need hundreds and hundreds of acres like yesteryear because they're not really farming, and there's not enough water anyway. But on this land, you can get 5 acres apiece, and or whatever the number be, and you can then set up a tent. And I go and I say, I am providing jobs in America. Hey, Donald, I'm providing jobs. Hey, Mark Cuban, I'm providing jobs. Hey, Larry Ellison of Google, I'm providing jobs. Hey, what's that dude's name over there at Amazon? Oh, yeah, Jeff Bezos. I'm working on this plan, buddy. And I'm hoping y'all can help me out with this here plan. And by the way, there's some churches. I'm hoping you guys can help me, too. And so then I put together this plan, and I say, listen, I'm going to give you 5 acres because the government doesn't need the land anyway. They're supposed to homestead, right? They're supposed to get people on the land and get government out of the way. So they got land now. There's a library they can all come into, and there's computers there where they can do the work that I ask them to do. And so I say, hey, I don't have a big paycheck. I have a tiny paycheck, but it's a paycheck. It's something rather than nothing. And now you can set up your tent. By the way, I got some camping companies to chip into my philanthropic efforts. They want to make a difference. And so now you got a tent, you got a piece of land, and you can camp there. And I partner with a couple of other people to get some porta potties out there, whatever I do. And then I give you a small paycheck and you do some work for me. And some people's work's going to be helping folks get their tents set up and find a way to get the porta potties rolling. And there's going to be a little bit of maintenance for this kind of startup camp that we got going on here, and so people are going to help with that. And pretty soon a church decides they want to kind of get there, so they create a, I don't know if you call it a tent revival, but it's getting close. And so the church kind of comes in, and they decide that the church that's in town is going to come out and help with some food and some medical capabilities and some, and before you know it, I've taken all the homeless off the streets in Salt Lake City, and I moved them to this place. Now you would say, well, Sam, what if they don't want to move there? My response is enough will move there if there's jobs, if there's security. So now I go to the military and I go to the police department. I say, hey, and I go to a lot of these veterans. Can you provide security for this place? Your job is just to kind of walk around peacefully, kind of like the old days in Boston. You'd walk the streets, right? And you might even yell out, it's 3:30, it's 5, you know, it's 600 hours or whatever you'd yell out. And you'd basically keep the peace, and you wouldn't be a hardcore cop. You just make sure that people aren't fighting and stealing and doing the things that are that ne'er-do-wells do. And I do this 90% volunteer. a little bit from money and philanthropy, some from churches. Donald doesn't put the government behind it, but he is absolutely rich. Maybe Mitt cares about Utah. See, Mitt could help me too. And so Mitt chimes in. And before you know it, I think I have this incredible example to the world of how it could be done without government, with philanthropy, with good guys leading, business involved, private sector solutions, security. The homeless guy that might be struggling, that's on the brink of homelessness, might come there and feel super valuable. Hey, now he can provide security and safety for folks. And security and safety means that you help the lady with the sack of flour, too, right? So he's running around with random acts of kindness on his mind. And is it perfect? Far from. Is it doable if government gets out of the way? Is it the way forward? I say absolutely, unequivocally yes, Lowell. Would you participate with me, fellow business owner?
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. In fact, that reminds me, that's reminiscent of what this gal did over in the leper camps, the leper communities in India. In fact, she wrote a book about it, and just in the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, basically helped these leper colonies, where in the leper colonies, see, the lepers just were beggars, basically. They just begged for food from day to day, but she went over there and gave them a job. And, you know, some wanted to raise chickens and some wanted to raise pig and so forth. And so they began to be productive, and they began selling their pigs and chickens and selling the eggs that their chickens laid. And this one leper community just became entirely self-sufficient. Everybody in the community had a job. Everybody was productive. Some taking in washing and linen and sewing and so forth, but no more were they out begging for their food. Instead, they were bartering their services and products with one another. And so, absolutely, that's the way forward.
And then pretty soon, they have too many eggs. So, you know, Kurt already named this city, by the way. He called it Second Nephi, just so you know. And they could go to First Nephi or Nephi in Utah, and they could start selling some eggs. And then maybe somebody decides to go out there and create a slaughter company where they'd slaughter the pigs. And pretty soon you got bacon coming out of this Second Nephi. And pretty soon, and it goes on and on. Hey, man, you want some milk? Second Nephi's got some of the best non-GMO milk on the planet. And pretty soon, and that's how it all happens. Do you want to add to this, Kurt? I know you were trying to say something, then I went to you and you were like, MIA. Are you back yet?
I don't know if you can hear me, but I can hear you perfectly. I could hear you, and I responded, but anyway. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, I think the Davy Crockett thing says it all pretty much, and that is, you know, they were faced with a very serious situation at that time. They had a fire across the way, and, you know, loss of property and all those kind of things, and yet, you know, as he explains in his Not Mine to Give pamphlet or whatever, is that it's not the role of government, but in all these different ways, some of the modern day ways is you've got the Tax Me More funds that have been tried in several places, because you'll find some of these hotshot big shots like a Mitt Romney or George Soros that say, hey, you've got to tax me more because I need to, you know, participate. Well, there's a solution.
Let's talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey,
I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill. Or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us, too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt even has another solution, ladies and gentlemen. You mentioned it right before the break, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I don't know, Lowell, if you're familiar with it, but this is an idea that's been put forward, over the years. This is one instance back in Arkansas, and this is a few years back, but I looked up the article. CNS News had it. The headline was, Arkansas Tax Me More Fund Swells to More Than $1,000. It says Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee's satirical Tax Me More Fund has cracked the $1,000 barrier. Huckabee created the fund after some lawmakers and media commentators suggested raising taxes to deal with the state's $142 million budget shortfall. And, you know, this is a way to address this idea that says, oh, you know, you guys, if you'll just raise taxes there, we, you know, wealthy folks want to participate more and we'll be happy to do it. Well, hey, you don't have to force everybody. You can have it a voluntary system, and those people who say they want to participate more can do it in this fashion.
Now, they call it a tongue-in-cheek fund as if it's just kind of demonstrating the absurd by being absurd. But our point is this. You wouldn't call it tax me more because it's not a tax if you're not forced. Volunteer me more fund might be better named. And so the point isn't that we ought to tax more. That's kind of the tongue-in-cheek part. The point is, though, that those who claim that they want to participate don't need a government law to do so. And the second a government law is passed to do so, they'll be using every trick in the book to make sure they don't pay. What's up with that, Lowell? And in that, in my opinion, is a solution.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the solutions you've offered. You know, one of the dynamics here is that as I think about Sam's town and the opportunities that might be available for homeless in that town, I believe that there would be a certain fraction of the homeless that would jump on that as a really great opportunity to bootstrap themselves up and out of homelessness into a home and a job and supporting themselves. But I also suspect that there's probably a larger fraction of the homeless community who, because of the government intervention, because they have for so long now been dependent upon government service, helping them, basically providing their food and shelter and so forth, they probably wouldn't want to go to Sam's Town to work. And I find that terribly unfortunate because, you know, they have had the initiative stripped from them because of the government intervention. You know, the government's desire to help has really crippled them mentally, and so they're in this mental box. And they can't get out. It's going to be very difficult for them to get out of this mental box because of, you know, they've grown so dependent on government in the past. So I really
and I would respond to that and say you can create. You don't have to crash the plane.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wake up tomorrow and shut off every government service. But what I might say to the homeless guy roaming the streets in Salt Lake City begging for food, you're going to get arrested. If you beg for food on our streets, you become a public nuisance. We're not going to let you do it. We will give you a ride to Sam's Town, though. And in Sam's Town, there's good, honest Christian people that will care for you and help you. And the government would then provide the ability, you know, there'd be a little bit of money to transfer that. The government might even have a short time for transition. because we're going to not crash the plane and just cut off the money in 1 second. We're going to work on a way to wind down the programs. And what that would do is allow the private sector, the charitable organizations, the churches, the Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself campaigns and people, if you will, to literally increase their services. And I'm just saying, hey, do you want a homeless guy running around the streets of Salt Lake City where it's so expensive he'll never get a foothold? Or do you want him running around the town of Samstown where there's security personnel, there's people that can, and there's people who actually might care and be able to do something about it? And if you give that person some land, at least they have a place on their own ground. And that's why it starts with land. On their own ground to set up maybe a tent that was given to them. And how much would it cost to give them basically the following four necessities? Shelter, clothing, food, and fuel. That's all they need to survive, folks. And if they want to get above that subsistence level, by all means. If they want to stay at that subsistence level, that's their choice. They have agency. But that subsistence level could be supported by the private sector a gazillion times less expensively than the government will ever do in the big cities anyway.
Yeah. Totally agree. I like that very much. You know, and this is the type of discussion. I mean, we spent nearly an hour discussing solutions to this problem, and it's a much, much different discussion than what I heard on the floor of the House of Representatives earlier in the legislative session. This is the kind of discussion I wish they had had. These are the kind of solutions I wish they would entertain. And so, you know, I'll do what I can to convey this message to them.
Please do. Now, let me add to this mix, though. You also participate in a lot of philanthropy efforts yearly. You go down to Mexico to serve and care. You almost see a bunch of Sam's Towns down there, don't you, sir?
Well, we do. We have the opportunity is great, certainly, down there. And what little tiny bit we give makes a huge difference in the lives of the, I would say, I guess maybe dozens of people that we help. But you know, if everybody just did a little bit, then no one person needs to do a lot. And we would indeed take care of thousands of people, thousands of families. And so that's just something we try
to do. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think I can get Sam's Town off the ground here in Utah?
Well, if government would get out of the way, I do.
Well, right now, though, what if we just decided Sam, Kurt, and Lowell are gonna build Sam's Town, buddy?
Well, we could probably, if we had land, right? I mean,
but how are you going to get the land, my friend? It's going to be incredibly expensive in the controlled limited zone. The American people only have 30% of the land in Utah, and it's high-cost land, buddy, every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need land out there in the out there somewhere where it doesn't cost hardly anything, and the government owns it all. So
Good point.
How are we going to get a piece of ground? See, that's what I'm talking about, why when we talk about these solutions that Kurt had about these $4,000 houses, it's an incredible idea. I'm not downing the idea in any way. I think the idea is out of the stratosphere. Awesome.
Uh-huh.
But it only impresses me if it's usable. I mean, if we can actually do it. Okay. And so I'm just saying, I don't even know that I could get a piece of ground to build Sam's Town if I tried.
Hmm. Yeah.
Could I?
You'd almost have to buy land like out in near Mona or someplace that's way out in the boonies.
Yeah, but land like that's 30 grand an acre, buddy.
It is real expensive per acre. So, I mean, even though it's out in the boonies, it's still pretty expensive per acre.
Okay, so that's my point. Unless government's going to participate in the homesteading and divest itself of this land, they've controlled so much private property, they've choked the free market to the point where you can't bootstrap literally anything.
Uh-huh.
And you've got big government entities like Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these things that are backed by the government and everything else, where, you know what, you can't even start a startup company hardly without, you know, government funding and support. So they've got to pull out of those things. I'm not trying to be discouraging like it can't happen. I'm telling you the road that it has to take to happen. And even if I wanted to create Sam's Town now, even if I was willing to put 50 grand into the project, I still don't think you could get off square one, sir. 50 grand won't even pay the legal bills to draw up the town documents to possibly even dream of Sam's Town, buddy.
Well, and that's part of why you have to have a policy discussion among the legislature and have to sort of agree on, look, this is the way forward, because until they do, they're going to continue to steal money from taxpayers and cripple the homeless by just giving them a fish every day. And that's not the solution. In order for Sam's Town to work, we need a pretty concerted effort. We need everyone to buy into that new policy, a new direction. And that's going to take some time to make that happen.
Now, you ready for this?
Sure, man.
This for you might be a what if discussion. Okay? This for you might be a, oh, this is a really neat philosophical discussion. But what if I told you that this discussion is a reality check in my life? This is not a joke. All right. Did you know that I'm literally trying to help a homeless man in this exact situation?
I didn't know that, but that's awesome.
This is not a joke. This is real. Ladies and gentlemen, now let me explain to you the story. There's a headline from some mainstream news organizations that says the following. L.A., former L.A. Times and they call it OC Register, which stands for a county down in California. So he's a reporter for the OC Register and for the LA Times.
It's the Orange County Register.
Yep. His name is Clark Sharon. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, but Clark Sharon is now homeless. And he spends his days in the library reading the paper that he once wrote for. Now, I literally am trying to contact this guy since I read the article. He used to be an incredible newsman for 40 years. And he got homeless. He got down on his luck, had a little bit of health difficulties and everything else. Now he's homeless. He goes into the library and reads the newspapers for something to do all day. Right. So I literally tried to contact this guy because that guy would be a perfect writer for my news organization for exactly what I'm talking about. And hey, I can't pay the guy a lot of money, but I can pay him something maybe. And I might also turn it into a national story and do some crowdfunding and raise some money to provide a job for this guy. Donald might even help me if he... Well, if I could get my letter to Donald, it might, but as of now, it won't. But anyway, I digress, except to say I literally hunted down the library mentioned in the story. And I literally called the library and I explained who I was. I said, I'm a reporter. And I would like to, you know, help this homeless gentleman. And can you guys help me get a hold of him? And they're like, we don't know anything about it. And I said, well, can you find out if this guy comes in every day? He must have a library card or something. Can you... Sir, we can't divulge that information. It's private. Can you at least pass a message to let him know that this guy that wants to give him a job is trying to get a hold of him? We'll see what we can do, sir. Well, I've heard nothing back. Now, the only way I could find this homeless guy that I know of is to literally drive to California or fly to California and go out on the streets and just start looking and asking and looking and asking until I find him.
Wow.
But how do I build Sam's Town when I can't even find a guy that's homeless that already has the skills that I'm looking for? How do I get that done, ladies and gentlemen? See what I'm talking about? And everybody wants to talk solutions. I'm on the ground floor, front lines discussion of this. And I've been working on this story for about a month. I don't know if you can, if you know this. Maybe it's 3 weeks. Anyway, all I'm telling you is I've been working on this story literally as we speak. So the Sam's Town scenario that I painted is not a joke. It's not a what if. I am truly trying to build it, but I can't even get off ground one. I can't even find the writer that's homeless that has the skills that I need. And I can't even give him money to help me if I tried.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you another story, Sam, real quick.
Go.
And this is a real life situation. I have a friend in Missouri, moved out to Missouri recently, 2 or 3 years ago, and he stumbled onto a family who it's a mom with 3 kids, beautiful kids, and they were down on their luck. They live in an apartment and they couldn't pay for their apartment, and so he wanted to help. And so he asked some of his friends back here in Utah to help, and we've been chipping in a little bit every month in order for this lady to pay her rent and to keep her family, because if she loses her rent, then the state is going to take her children from her. Their age is like one.
It spirals down fast. We are flat out of time. Can you stay with us the second hour, Lowell, or are you busy?
Just briefly, yeah.
All right, stay there. We'll come back. I want you to tell this story. I know this homeless thing took the whole time, and you had a bunch of other topics, but I'm telling you, this is real, and we do want to provide private sector philanthropy. We do care. We want to be our brother's keeper. We want to love our neighbors as ourselves, but I feel stymied at every turn in my efforts, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. This nation shall endure. Story next hour.